Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
That music is almost over. Welcome to Call to Freedom. This, you know, fear, when you look at the word fear, it has so many different tangents and channels of fear that people get. But it may be the biggest weapon of the enemy when you're looking at the new year. And I can safely say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And I pray that as you enter into this new year, you will realize that God is your safety net. He is your security. He is your high tower you can run into. Oh, and it's so true what Psalm 27 verse 1 says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, may the Lord bless you today with more joys than you expected and greater gifts of his love than you can imagine. Thank you for joining me. It's going to be just such a wonderful time together here for a half an hour. And I look forward to these half hours every day that I'm on the air. It's a wonderful thing to know that we have friends, and even friends that we have never met, but we've got friends. And I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus to be the exact person that God wants. I've got to think about this. The exact person, the exact image of God, and you are the image of God that he wants on this earth to display his wonderful wisdom and understanding and power and might. I'm praying that for you today. Praise the Lord. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And you can donate on online at freedomstreet.org. And you may like to do that. This is the last call for calendars that you can order by donating to Call to Freedom. You can go to freedomstreet.org and hit that little donate button and give. And donations are coming in. And so people, I know a lot of people don't do the calendar on the wall anymore, but there are many, many, many who do. So I'm encouraging you to write a check or a money order to Call to Freedom before the 31st. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow. So if you would like to have a calendar, you can donate to Call to Freedom either online at freedomstreet.org, or you can go to the mail, to the post office and mail it. And I still get most of my letters are from the post office. So they're dependable, and they're an organization. I know they've been in debt for a while, but my mail has always gone through. So I thank God for that. A way of getting our letters to people. Do you know that the Pony Express, they had to ride horses across the Western United States to get letters to people? And we are so blessed. And I know we complain, but we are so blessed. Oh, God bless you today. I have an email from the American Center for Law and Justice. And Jay Sekulow says, for too long, the far less mainstream media has been able to lie, smear, and disparage people of faith and anyone who defends the Constitution with impunity. During President Trump's impeachment trial, CNN took a key constitutional defense of the president, twisted it, and blasted a lie about it to millions of viewers on national TV. CNN falsely vilified and defamed a distinguished constitutional lawyer, Professor Alan Dershowitz, who defended the Constitution alongside Jordan and myself on the Senate floor. I'm going to talk about Alan Dershowitz here in just a few minutes. A federal judge even said the evidence that showed CNN's foolishness, apathy, and an inability to string together a series of common legal principles and its coverage was defamatory under any normal understanding of the word, but said a broken Supreme Court ruling still shielded CNN from accountability. It's a constitutional crisis, says Jay Sekulow. In just hours, we're filing a groundbreaking petition to the U.S. Supreme Court asking the justices to hear this case and rein in the media's abuse of this court-created shield. But taking on the nearly unlimited resources of a media powerhouse like CNN at the Supreme Court in the final few days of the year will take an immense support. With just 2 days ago to go until our final deadline, we cannot do this without you. Have your gift tripled today through your year-end Freedom Drive so you can give to ACLJ.org as well as Call to Freedom. And there you get tax deductions. Absolutely. So if you give to ACLJ.org, it will triple your giving. And that's a blessing. This is a battle unlike any other to defend the Constitution. Take action with us at the Supreme Court today. And that famed attorney he was talking about, Alan Dershowitz, has announced his departure from the Democratic Party. If it had to take that, them actually just labeling Alan Dershowitz, he's been a Democrat all his life. He's in his later years. And he left because of the most anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, anti-Zionist convention he has experienced. Where was he all those years? I mean, they were always anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, anti-Zionist. And just until this last year at the convention, the Democratic National Convention, he voiced his opinion of changing parties. Why has he waited so long before becoming an independent? Why was he a Democrat for so long? Those people that vote for abortions, even late-term abortions, and teaching our children the communist way and creating higher taxes and closing doors of opportunity for the citizens. Why did it take him so long? I don't understand that, folks. I just really don't. And he's an intelligent man, but to be in that party for so long that absolutely pays millions upon millions to kill babies is just beyond my thinking. I just can't imagine. Oh, so I'm grateful he is now an independent, but there need to be more and more people that cross over from the Democratic side and all those horrible, horrible beliefs. Our memory verse for this week is Nehemiah 9, verse 17b. But thou art a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And from the Message translation, Nehemiah 9, 15 through 17b says, but they, our ancestors, were arrogant, bullheaded, they wouldn't obey your commands. They turned a deaf ear. They refused to remember the miracles you had done for them. They turned stubborn, got it into their heads to return to their Egyptian slavery. And you, a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, incredibly patient. I don't like the word incredible, but we'll say it anyway. Incredibly patient with tons of love. You didn't dump them. Yes, even when they cast a sculpted calf and said, this is your God who brought you out of Egypt, and continued from bad to worse, you in your amazing compassion didn't walk off and leave them in the desert. Oh, that is so good. And I appreciate our God. He is a God of mercy and a God of forgiveness. Exactly what Nehemiah 9, verse 17b tells us. In your Bible guide, you have been reading, and I pray that more of you will ask for a Bible guide. And you, after the program today, all you have to do is call 1-877-917-7256 and ask for a Word Power Bible guide or even just a Bible guide. Or you can go to freedomstreet.org. The Bible guide is under teachings, I believe, maybe resources. But look around there. You will see a Bible guide, and you can download that the whole year if you want to. And thank you, Chris, for doing that. But the Bible guide that I have been reading for 50 years, and it started with Marilyn Hickey, is a guide that goes through the Bible chronologically, as much as I can chronologically. For instance, when you get kind of into the very one third of Genesis, you will go to Job, because they were contemporaries. And so you will read Job and then go back to Genesis, because I really believe that right there was a chronological split there that allowed us to go into Job. And you will find that during your year, jumping from Psalms that David wrote to Psalms that the Asaph and the musical leaders wrote to Psalms after the Babylonians, after the Babylonian captivity, and they returned. So you'll find those kind of things in the Bible guide. Also, words of gems, power of gems, which you can go and memorize the verse for the day or focus on that verse for the day. So I recommend this because it is a wonderful guide, not because I did anything to it or for it, but it is a way of you going through the Bible, going from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And I do have three chapters in the Old every day and then one chapter in the New, because there are some things in Numbers. If I left you with a chapter in Numbers, you go, whoa, I don't know if I can read through it. So I introduce you to the New Testament. And it's just a wonderful way to get through the Bible in a year. I would like to read some verses from the last book in the Old Testament, and that's Malachi. And then you'll go into Matthew. The last book in the New Testament is, of course, Revelation. And that's where you are reading also. I'm going to start in Malachi 3. I just love this book. It's a wonderful book, the end of an old covenant. And we step into a brand new covenant. Ugh, I just love it. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will prepare and clear the way before me. And we know that messenger is John the Baptist. And the Lord, the Messiah whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap, which removes impurities and uncleanness. See, when Jesus comes into your heart, into your life, He cleans you up then. He doesn't expect you to get clean before you come to him. You can't possibly, because it's Jesus that teaches you and instructs you into the things of the new covenant. So I love this part. And he will be like a refiner's fire to remove impurities and uncleanness. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, the priests, and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord grain offerings in righteousness. And of course, you know from reading Revelation that God has appointed us as kingdom of priests and kings. Praise the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and is in the ancient years. And then I will come near to you for judgment, says Jesus in verse 5 of Malachi 3. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who oppress the laborer in his wages, and widows, and the fatherless, and against those who turn away from the alien from his right, and those who do not fear me with awesome reverence. And this is Jesus speaking about how he hates dishonesty. He hates corruption. He hates the man whose heart is stubborn and will not yield to him. Oh, praise God. I'm just praying for more and more people whose hearts will be softened. And that's what you can pray for your loved one today as you enter into a new year, that God would take that heart of stone, that stubborn, stiff-necked stone, and he will make it a heart of tenderness, a heart of gentleness that will listen to the word of God. In verse 6, he says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change, but remain faithful to my covenant with you. That is why you, O sons of Jacob, have not come to an end. Return to me, and I will return to you." See, God made the new covenant for us. It is not full of laws to be kept, but it stands on the premise of the word believe. If you believe, yes, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Oh, praise God. In verse 8, God is going in kind of into a new direction now. Will a man rob God? Will you rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings you have withheld. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, this whole nation. And maybe you have said, oh, I'm going to give this, I'm going to give that. And then all the distractions of the day or the week come upon you, and you've forgotten. That's why I write down. I have post notes, I have pieces of paper in front of me, and I'm writing down what I am vowing to do, what I'm going to do. Because if I don't, then you've withheld tithes and offerings, and God says you've robbed him. I'm going to go into some new covenant things, though, and thinking. But here in the 10th verse of Malachi 3, it says, bring all the tithes, the 10th, into the storehouse. That's where you are spiritually fed, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you so great a blessing until there is no more room to receive it. I pray that for you today. Then I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he will not destroy the fruits of the ground. He will not destroy the fruit that Holy Spirit is bringing up in you, the love, joy, peace, faithfulness, wonderful fruit of Holy Spirit. And so the rebuker, the devourer, will not steal the fruit from your heart, nor will your vine in the field drop its grapes for harvest, says the Lord of hosts. All nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. See, a giving nation is a blessed nation, and the United States of America is the most giving nation on this earth. Praise the Lord. A giving nation is a blessed nation. The first time the tithe, and he's talking about tithe in verse 10, Malachi is, and the tithe appears in Genesis 14 when Abram, the friend of God, won this wonderful battle. I mean, five kings came against him, and he was victorious against them. And he promised the Lord he would give one-tenth of what God blessed him with, but not the booty that he got from the kings. This is upon the things that God would bring into his own personal life. It seems like this gesture of thankfulness and goodwill to God was a man's way of honoring God in a tangible way. I know you honor God with thanksgiving, with gratefulness, with praise, with worship, but how do you praise him and thank him in a tangible way? Well, giving offerings is one way. Giving into good ground ministries and tithing is a wonderful way in which to honor God tangibly. Then later in Genesis 28, we see Jacob doing the same thing, promising God that he would give one-tenth of what God blessed him with. And this is when he was running from Esau and he went to his uncle Laban. Now, God was pleased with the tithe offering that these men promised and gave. We see so many people, I'll tell you, friend, so many people have made excuses for not bringing the offerings of thanksgiving to God. It's just one-tenth of what you bring in. And every minute of the day, they're explaining and excusing themselves from giving into wonderful good ground ministries. I hope that Holy Spirit will get hold of you if you haven't tithed or if you haven't been giving offerings with a cheerful heart. It says here that Jesus actually talked about tithing. He says, what sorrows, and this is Matthew 23:23. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the most important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes. That's what he says. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Blind guides, you strain your water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you swallow a camel. Jesus was saying that as we tithe, we realize that God has given us his divine justice, his mercy when we don't deserve it, and our faith comes from God as we give cheerfully and not under obligation. See, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 tells us, and as James wrote in the other day to Call to Freedom, I don't give to receive, I give to worship God. Oh, that should be our priority, friend. And this passage of scripture tells us what God expects in our giving in the new covenant. And this is verse 7, 6 and 7 in 2 Corinthians 9. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. And this is from the Message. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving, when he's a cheerful giver. Remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Verse 8 through 11 in 2 Corinthians 9 says, God can pour on blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist put it, he gives to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never run dry. So thank you so much for your giving. Those of you who have been giving to Call to Freedom, I appreciate you so much. And with wisdom, power, and love, we recognize our God as an awesome God. Friend, I want you to recognize him that as you enter into this new year. No more fear. Oh, God has not given you that spirit of fear. The enemy has. So take the power and the love and the sound mind and live by those. Here's Phil Wickham.
God is great. Give him all the praise. Hallelujah, name above all names. Fire in his eyes, healing in his veins. Everywhere is glory on display. Take a look at those stars, you can name them all. Before his throne, every knee falls. The demons have to run, the angels have to praise. Even the wind and waves obey.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns.
He reigns
from heaven above.
Oh, praise God. Our God, what an awesome God, with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Oh, God loves it when the giver delights in the giving, when he's a cheerful giver. Oh, God loves that. And I'll tell you, friend, I cannot outgive God. No, he's an awesome God. And a reading from 2 Corinthians 9, one of the finest chapters on giving. It really does give you step by step in your giving. It says this most generous God in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 9 says, who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away. Yeah, when he blesses you, you give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. That's the result, the great praise to God. This ministry of service to others involves far more than helping meet the bare needs of poor Christians. It also produces abundant and bountiful thanksgivings to God. This relief offering is a nudge from God to live at your very best, showing your gratitude to him by being openly obedient to the plain meaning of the message of Christ. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to your needy brothers and sisters, and really toward everyone. When you're a giver, I mean, there's a difference around you as you are giving than when you're slouching a guy who or a woman that does just keeps your money to yourself. You can see it on their person. I sure can. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to your needy brothers and sisters, and really toward everyone. Meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in your lives, they'll respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. Yes, they will. They'll open their arms to you. Oh, thank God for this gift, his gift. No language can praise it enough. No language can praise it enough. And then you'll see Jesus in Malachi 4:4, as the Son of Righteousness shall come with healing in his wings. And you will know that God has blessed you beyond measure because you have opened your heart to others. It's so important at this time of year that we open our hearts not only to God but to others. And I pray that this new year will be the best you've ever had in your whole life. God bless you and keep you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.